The insurgency remained all but invisible, except during its attacks. It issued no statements. Unlike other insurgencies, such as in Algeria in the 1950s, it had no visible leaders or spokesmen, no diplomatic offices operating in friendly Arab capitals. All that was really known of it was its location and tactics. Most of the insurgency was in the Sunni Triangle, the area dominated by Sunni Muslims, who were a minority in Iraq but had ruled the country for decades, that extended west of Baghdad to Ramadi and then up the Euphrates River north from the capital along the Tigris to Samarra and Beji, and northeast to Baqaba. Tactically, the insurgency was generally low-tech. The U.S. wasn't a colonial power in Iraq, seeking to hold on to a restive province, but it sometimes acted like one. This is the way an administration caught with its plans down habitually reacts under such circumstances, Alistair Horn wrote in A Savage War of Peace, the classic history of the French War in Algeria in the 1950s. Whether it be the British in Palestine, Cyprus, or Northern Ireland, the Portuguese in Mozambique, or the French in Indochina, first comes the mass indiscriminate roundup of suspects, most of them innocent, but converted into ardent militants by the fact of their imprisonment. Through their lack of discrimination, such tactics tend to have powerful unintended negative political effects on the population. Not only do they alienate those affected, they also show that the military force conducting the operation is ignorant, because supportive and neutral natives are caught up with hostile ones. This does two things, concluded a 2005 study by Hicks and Associates, a small but influential Pentagon consulting firm. For potential government collaborators, it makes them less sure that the government will protect them from harm. For potential insurgents, it makes them less worried that they will be caught if they join the insurgents. Family members were sometimes taken into captivity to force suspects to turn themselves in. The families know what's going on, Colonel Hogg said one day in late July 2003, standing in the ankle-deep khaki-colored dust at the front gate of his base and wearing his full battle gear of body armor, helmet, and pistol. So we picked up the family of a Republican Guard lieutenant general last night, he said, puffing on a Dominican cigar. He wasn't there. We brought in his wife and daughter and left him a note. We know where you are. We know what car you drive. If you want your family released, turn yourself in. This really wasn't hostage-taking, he contended. It's an intelligence operation with detainees, pointing toward a difference that wasn't immediately apparent. These people have information. The wife denied her husband was in the military until we showed her his general's uniform. Hogg's major complaint at the time was about the media's coverage of U.S. military operations, which he saw as negative. I don't think they're fully reporting the success we're having, he said genially. We've put a lot of bad guys away, either through detaining or killing them. That is having a positive effect with Iraqis, who are coming to us more, telling us more, working with us more. Like many commanders, Hogg thought the media just didn't understand how much progress had been made by the U.S. military. I think we're fixing to turn the corner, he said that hot day in July 2003. I think the operations over the next couple of weeks will get us there. But there was also unease being expressed about this heavy-handed approach, both inside the U.S. military and among Iraqis talking to U.S. officers. Hogg was an excellent brigade commander, recalled Lieutenant Colonel Christopher Holschek, commander of the 402nd Civil Affairs Battalion, which moved to Baqaba that fall to work for Hogg. But Holschek thought that in the summer and fall of 2003, Hogg's tactics were unnecessarily aggressive and even counterproductive. He said he tried a few times, unsuccessfully, to figure out how to make that case. In places like Fallujah and Baqaba, tactical commanders began to learn when conducting raids and sweeps that in the process of kicking down doors in the middle of the night to find bad guys, and often kicking down the wrong doors, entering the private space of the house where the women and children were, then tying up and interrogating, i.e. humiliating the man in the house in front of his family, the premier cultural value of family honor was violated, Holschek later wrote.